This is the United Nations. United Nations Day, October the 24th, 1954.
Excuse me, I hate to interrupt you, but couldn't we do it differently?
What do you mean, Mr. Douglas? What's wrong?
Without the trumpets and not too much of that oratory stuff.
But I don't think you understand. This is very important. We're paying tribute to the UN's 9th anniversary.
I know, but let's lay off the trumpets and the tribute for a moment and celebrate in a different way. Let's have a quiet moment or two instead, to think. And perhaps remember. Tell you what we'll do. Let's start it all over again, with no trumpets.
Well, I'm not sure I follow you. It's very unusual. But all right, if you say so. United Nations Radio presents No Trumpets with Melvin Douglas.
Unusual? Oh, I don't know. Maybe you've already done some thinking and some remembering. Because today there's a birthday being marked in the houses of God, on the editorial pages of newspapers, in schoolrooms and market squares, cinemas and parade grounds and city halls. The United Nations is 9 years old. Back in 1945, 50 governments were drawing up the UN Constitution, its charter. Now, at the beginning of a charter, any charter, there's usually a sort of foreword which sets out the overall aim of what the authors are trying to achieve. That's what they did in San Francisco, too. The preamble, or introduction. Perhaps you haven't heard that preamble for a while. Perhaps, indeed, you've never heard it. It's just 228 words long, words worth listening to and thinking about.
We, the peoples of the United Nations, determined to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, which twice in our lifetime has brought untold sorrow to mankind, and to reaffirm faith in fundamental human rights, in the dignity and worth of the human person, in the equal rights of men and women, and of nations, large and small.
Right. Now let's take that apart. Would you begin again, please?
We, the peoples.
You hear that? We must assume, you and I, that our names were not taken in vain. Let's go on.
We, the peoples of the United Nations, determined to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, which twice in our lifetime has brought untold sorrow to mankind.
Twice in our lifetime? Perhaps not all of us can remember two world wars. There's a new generation. I wouldn't be surprised if many of the people listening to this program would find it hard to mark these names on a map. Chateau Thierry. Vimy Ridge. The Argonne, the Marne, Gallipoli, Belleau Wood. They were marked on the conscience of mankind by the death of about 10 million young men. But it does seem a long time ago. 1914, 1918. 1939 to 1945 is closer. All too easy to remember.
We correspondents were billeted that night at the regimental command post. The next morning when I awoke, the dawn was bleak. I felt oppressed. I lay in my sleeping bag and I had a hunch. I knew that somehow before that day was over, I'd see something for which all my life and 5 years of war were no adequate preparation. How right can you be? That was the day we liberated Buchenwald. The day I saw my first gas chamber.
War, which twice in our lifetime has brought untold sorrow to mankind.
Yes, that's why the United Nations exists. To save succeeding generations from the scourge of war. That was the primary purpose that we decided on in San Francisco. By the way, when I say we, I mean anyone, anywhere, anytime.
Say, Betty, you know something? Forget what I said last night. I don't mind if it's a girl, you know that.
Look, Alan, I just don't want to talk about it now, okay?
Betty, what's wrong?
Darling, I don't know. Why are we having a child at all? If he's a boy, he can get killed in a war. And if he's a girl, she can die in an air raid shelter. No, this isn't the time.
Hey, now, stop it, darling. All those problems, the world and war, we don't have to worry about that stuff. That's for the politicians and generals and the United Nations. Let them worry about it. You just concentrate on the important things. I've got a job, we've got a home, we've got our own lives to live.
Just a minute, Alan. Too many of us in too many countries talked your kind of way in the years before the past war. Whether you like it or not, you are one of we the peoples of the United Nations, determined to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war. Now let's go on with the preamble.
And to reaffirm faith in fundamental human rights, in the dignity and worth of the human person, in the equal rights of men and women, and of nations large and small.
Mm-hmm. The whole long road of our history is marked with milestones which show the course we've taken. They have names like Magna Carta, Bill of Rights, and the United Nations proclaimed a new one not so long ago, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. This is a Bill of Rights for all peoples of all ages. Ask someone who has the job of teaching.
Now, these are the rights that everyone in the world is entitled to. Free and equal, no distinctions on grounds of race or color, sex or language or religion. The right to life, liberty, and security of person. No torture or inhuman punishment. Right to a fair trial. Innocent until proved guilty. Freedom of thought, conscience, and religion expressed.
Now, maybe these UN rights aren't yet the law of the land in many countries of the world, but this is work in progress. And no year passes without, somewhere in some land, a step in the right direction. The Charter again.
To establish conditions under which justice and respect for the obligations arising from treaties and other sources of international law can be maintained.
Important. It isn't so long ago. We can almost hear the tearing of treaties into scraps of paper, the grating of the Nazi voice.
Respect for treaties and international law.
And we looked as well toward that great brooding reservoir of the world's troubles and tensions.
To promote social progress and better standards of life in larger freedom.
You know what we were talking about there? This is the kind of thing we meant. Tell us, Doctor.
One out of every 8 persons in the world suffers from malaria. One out of every 2 is ill-fed. Each year, more than 3 million people die of TB. In many parts of the world, one child out of every 4 dies before reaching the age of 1.
What about housing, Mr. Housing Consultant?
We estimate that at least one-third of mankind lives in completely inadequate, unhealthy homes. Only a small fraction of humanity has the luxury of plumbing and hot water.
That much for a roof over humanity's head. Ignorance?
We live on this earth with 2,400,000,000 neighbors. Over half of them can't read or write.
Says a man whose job it is to count the literacy rates. Poverty.
2 out of every 3 people in the world earn less than $200 a year. 1 out of every 3 earns less than $50 a year.
Poverty, disease, illiteracy, hunger. These are the blights that must be removed.
And for these ends.
Which brings us to the next stage. How to make the world we want.
And for these ends, to practice tolerance and live together as good neighbors.
We want the nations of the world to live together in a world community as sensible, mature families and individuals live together in a normal local community.
And to unite our strength to maintain international peace and security.
What that means is that any situation anywhere on earth likely to lead to a breach of the peace can no longer be a private quarrel between nations. It's public. United Nations business.
To ensure by the acceptance of principles and the institution of methods that armed force shall not be used save in the common interest.
It never really worked before. And then, early summer 1950.
I shall read to the members of the Security Council the operative part of the resolution as it now stands. The Security Council recommends that the members of the United Nations furnish such assistance to the Republic of Korea as may be necessary to repel the armed attack and to restore international peace and security in the area.
Armed force had been used not in the common interest. It had to be met with the armed force of the United Nations. The technical name for keeping the peace in such a way is collective security.
To employ international machinery for the promotion of the economic and social advancement of all peoples.
Yes, now we're back to that reservoir of troubles and tensions which we mentioned a few minutes ago. Poverty, ignorance, disease, and so on. The Charter says the United Nations have got to do something about it, so they've reached out to help in all directions. UN men and women at work in many lands. Let's open their correspondence files.
Dear Mavis, well, here we are. Libya, it's a little hot and sandy, rather like parts of the Northern Territory. Now, we're planning to start the demonstrations of the new sheep-dipping methods next week, and we expect the equipment within the next few days. Would you readdress all copies of the Farmers Weekly to me here? That is, care of the Food and Agriculture Organization. And do that for at least the next 6 weeks.
Next 6 weeks may be regarded as critical. Stop. Sufficient supplies of serum available, Cairo and vicinity, for 8 days' work. World Health Organization being kept fully informed. Stop. Understand they plan more comprehensive action to start almost immediately.
Almost immediately? Can you imagine that? We leave for Central America by air and have to be in Honduras all next week. The UN Children's Fund people want the school feeding program to start by the end of the month, so we're in a hurry.
In a hurry to start the cement factory producing. Thousands of paddy fields between Tagu and the frontier line need rebuilding and repair. The United Nations factory will be shipping by December, and we must hope for a few days clear enough and warm enough.
Clear enough and warm enough, except in the midwinter nights. That is the dangerous period in the Arab refugee areas. You say the new UN project will house 38,000 in the Gaza Strip. What about all the others, particularly those east of there?
Those east of the B zone will have to use frequencies in the 10 megacycle band. That's in the bulletin from the International Telecommunications Union. In my opinion, we can't disregard a clear decision like that. It would cause chaos in three countries. Well, that's all for now. With all good wishes, yours sincerely. Yours sincerely. All those files of letters, they symbolize a worldwide pooling of knowledge and technical know-how, a sharing of skills for mutual benefit. That's how the UN helps the peoples of the world to be healthier, to grow more, produce more, sell more, learn easier, live better.
To employ international machinery for the promotion of the economic and social advancement of all peoples, have resolved to combine our efforts to accomplish these aims.
Accordingly, our respective governments, through representatives assembled in the city of San Francisco, who have exhibited their full powers found to be in good and due form, have agreed to the present Charter of the United Nations and do hereby establish an international organization to be known as the United Nations.
You've been listening to Melvin Douglas in the United Nations radio production of No Trumpets, prepared
just
by...
Just a moment. Now you can have your trumpets. Trumpets for the fact that it was born. Trumpets because of what it stands for. Trumpets because the United Nations is 9 years old today.
No Trumpets was written and produced at UN headquarters by the international staff of United Nations Radio. The program was distributed to radio stations in the English-speaking world with the cooperation of the United States Committee for United Nations Day.